Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so it's your wedding day and you're in love, whatever. It's been a couple years. It's taken some time, but you're in love. And then you find out that, oh, and you're a lady, and you find out that your groom has a secret baby. His sister and his mom knew, but never told him. So you tell him, you're like, hey, you got a secret kid. And he's like, okay, we got to pause this wedding. And you're like, yeah, let's do it tomorrow. So then you go on a road trip. You go meet the kid. The kid is not a baby. It's 14. You meet the 14-year-old kid. She's a lot like her dad. So you can tell like right away that, oh, these two are related. And then you also have been on a juice fast for like a week. So you're kind of like, and you meet the girl at the bake sale. It's a whole shenanigan. And then you go back home and you say, oh, let's invite the daughter to the wedding. So you do. She's going to come to this second day wedding that you're having. And then while you are like freaking out about how hungry you are and you're getting dressed for the wedding, putting on your dress, your fiance is talking to his daughter and the mother of the daughter. And the mother of the daughter is an acupuncturist who travels with rock and roll bands. She's about to leave for 6 months and she wants to take the daughter with her. And the daughter's like, I don't want to go on the road with you for 6 months. I want to live like a normal life and I want to get to know my dad. And the dad's like, well, okay, you can stay with me for 6 months. So then you go, then the dad goes upstairs and talks to his fiance, and tells you, by the way, I invited the daughter to stay with you for 6 months. What do you do?
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Patrick.
The kid sounds cool.
Kid is cool.
Instant family. I don't know.
I feel the journey that all of us went on, because when you said that he has a secret child, I think Colin and I did not know it was also a secret from him.
Yeah.
That is the most surprising part.
That was the biggest surprise.
The part that really threw me off was, I just learned I have a secret child. Do you want to get married tomorrow instead?
Right. I need the rest of the day to think about this.
Yeah.
But tomorrow I should be good.
Should be good. And also the venue should be fine with
just... Yeah, it turned out the venue was fine because the wedding was going to be on a Sunday and it was a Monday. Who gets married on Monday?
Get married on a Monday.
So
that's
just
fine.
They could just, and they just kept
But then
all
your
the
guests just like stick around?
Yeah, and guests have to come back tomorrow. Come back tomorrow, there's a secret baby.
And
who's
this
14?
Is, and everyone's now knowing about this at this wedding as well, right?
Yeah. There's no secrets.
Okay.
So why
anymore?
You go pick up the child instead of your fiance?
You went together to the bake sale. You went for moral support because he's kind of going through it. This is a big deal.
And you're about to marry this guy.
And you're about to marry him. You love him.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. I mean, oh, God. Can you imagine? So did he even know that she was pregnant at all, or she didn't say at all?
She never said at all. They had like a... He came home to Jersey. They had a fling, like slept together, and then he like moved on with his, he just lived his life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's nothing really you can do. I think you just have the kid live with you for 6 months, right?
Yeah. She was a little mad that he didn't talk to her first.
Well, I'd be mad. Yeah. Yeah. Well, because I'd be like, we're a partnership.
Right. We're about to get married.
Yeah, I need to know what my life, if my life is going to change drastically.
Also, she, her sister and her brother-in-law had like bad financial shenanigans. Mm. And so her niece and nephew had been living with her from their teenage years up.
Oh, so, they, she just got rid of some teenagers.
Yeah, she just got rid of some teenagers.
Okay.
He was also, the husband was also her manny, her nanny.
Oh, really?
And then they fell in love. So he came in to help her with the teenagers.
Are there so many things happening
late in
this?
The series run, so it's also to give us fresh teenagers.
Right, right, right.
To keep the premise alive.
Is this from Degrassi or something?
It's from Melissa and Joey. Starring Melissa Joan Hart and Joey Lawrence. I saw a clip of it on TikTok.
Thank you.
I saw a clip of it on TikTok. It is, here's the thing, it's not good, but it is two very good at being on sitcom people.
Yeah.
Sure.
Doing sitcom plots. It's very comforting.
Yeah.
So okay. I saw a clip on TikTok and then I went and watched the rest of the episode on TV. On Hulu, and then went back and I started from the beginning. I don't know how long this journey will last.
Okay.
But I'm watching
Melissa
and Joey.
This is great.
It's like, and they got the dad from Reba is in it.
Whoa.
And like, it's just like people who are good at cheesy sitcom stuff doing cheesy sitcom. It's like,
great.
It's totally watchable.
What would you do?
I think I'd be mad that he didn't tell me.
Yeah, me too.
But then probably just like Melissa Joan Hart in the show, she goes downstairs, she eats some of the food. And she's like,
day-old wedding food.
Day-old wedding food. She eats some of it, and she's like, you know what? I love you. We're going to take care of this. We're going to be a family.
No matter what, you can't say no.
And you don't want to say no, really.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a
new
kid.
Life with
this.
Yeah.
So, like, she
gets... also, it's 6 months.
Yeah. I was thinking,
it's
like,
over.
Right?
I think that would be the best way to be a parent is for 6 months.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Although, I got to say, 6 months with a 14-year-old who just is meeting her real dad for the first time, that's going to be a tough 14-year-old.
Yeah.
Is that the case?
She runs away because she thinks Melissa Joan Hart doesn't want her.
Oh, shit.
Does she overhear an argument?
Away to, oh, I didn't tell you that part. The 14-year-old ran away to Melissa and Joey's house and stole her mother's jewelry to pay the Uber driver.
Whoa.
The driver's like, I don't take jewelry.
That's really funny.
You really need a credit card for this.
And so, yeah. So then she runs away again, but she runs off to the roof. Now, this is a place where the old teenage niece used to go. So it's a set that they already have.
Oh, wow.
So they go up to the roof.
How fresh.
She can just stay in the set we already have.
Okay. And so Melissa Joan Hart is up there. Joey's up there. Yeah. The teenager is up there. Guess what happens next?
What?
What is the most sitcom thing that can happen on a roof?
Someone falls off.
Joey?
Who's? No, the bride falls off the roof.
Oh my God.
And she breaks her leg.
Oh my God.
So she's in the hospital. Everyone's like, we can't get married today. And she's like, no, we're getting married today. So then it's actually, this. I really was charmed by this. they're getting married. So she's like, go get me a dress. So she goes, so the niece goes and gets her a dress. Her whole family's there. The nephew got ordained as a minister, so he marries them. And then Melissa Joan Hart is on pain medicine, so she starts getting loopy. So she starts singing I Will Survive. And Joey's like, dude, this is not a wedding song. But then everyone just shrugs and sings along, and they all sing I Will Survive.
We're doing survivorships.
Whoa.
Ryan.
Whoa.
Fucking Mogi.
Whoa.
Galaxy Brain blowing it up, rescuing from last week's where it didn't make sense.
This, honestly, you were so skilled. And this is maybe also that I'm very hungry, forgot we were doing survivorship. So it's like you boiled the water and I was the frog.
You were a frog.
I mean, this is
a real episode of Melissa and Joey. You guys can check.
This is amazing.
I believe it. I mean, this is the prestige, right?
I do want to live in the world where you invented that episode of Melissa and Joey so you could do
the
survivorship.
No one is going to check.
Because also, like, the details, too, where you're like, oh, yeah, they met at a bake sale. It's like, why would you include that?
Right.
You're making up the story.
She's hungry. She's had on juice fast.
That's how to not get away with killing your wife. It's just like, I've got so many details. I for sure didn't do it.
Yeah, first, I woke up at 6:59 a.m. I woke up before my alarm. That's what I always do. Wow.
That's
so we're doing survivorships.
We're doing survivorships because Star Wars Jedi Survivor, the sequel to Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, is out today.
Is this a book or a video game?
This is a video game.
Uh-huh.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, the first one was super fun. I like the first one a lot. It is like delivers on the premise of like you get to run around a world as like a Jedi and like use the lightsaber and the force and stuff. And like,
what time is this?
It is 5 years after the prequel trilogy. So okay. I guess technically like in line with Andor timeline.
Yeah.
But it's all like very Jedi focused.
Yeah.
And you play as Cal Kestis, who is a Padawan during the time of Order 66. Maybe it's 10 years after now that I'm describing it. But he has like turned off his like connection to the Force and is like, I'm just going to live in hiding because the Inquisitors are out there killing anyone who looks like they could hold a lightsaber. And then he gets like wrapped up into a thing where there are like holocrons that have the locations of all the like Force sensitive children. And the Inquisitors are going around the galaxy killing all of those kids. They're the goddamn worst. I'll spoil Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order a little bit here. They collect the holocrons, and there's like a bit where they're like, we're going to go and recruit these kids. And then he's like, no, we're just going to smash the holocrons. And like, that information is gone forever.
Oh, cool. Let those kids live.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's really cool.
Protect the kids by not making them Jedi, which like, a pretty good lesson for Star Wars is like, hey, stop with the Jedi.
The last Jedi tried.
Sure did.
And then the next movie was like, nah.
No. JK. JK, more Jedi.
So, you know all these child soldiers in your religious army?
Right. They have to live an ascetic lifestyle. And like, yes.
And they can't have any connections.
Yeah, and if someone gets too powerful, he's just going to murder all of them.
Yeah.
So I can I go first? Can
I give my survivorship first? Yeah, of course.
Just because I'm still in I'm still gonna stay in Star Wars here.
Ooh,
with a surviving Jedi who survives Order 66. Kanan Jarrus, one of the characters from Star Wars Rebels. He is a like kid Jedi at the time of Order 66 and is going by the name Caleb Dune. In the first episode of Bad Batch, we see him and his master Depa Balaba like gunned down by clones in Order 66, and like he gets away just by like help of the Bad Batch because they're able to resist the Order 66 programming. But Kanan fucking Jarrus, voiced by Freddie Prinze Jr. On Star Wars Rebels, is the fucking shit, because he is a Jedi who is immediately cut off from like any of the structures and supports of the Jedi and has to like figure out how he uses his powers in this new world. Right.
Cool.
And so like he, at some point in Rebels meets up with Ahsoka, who is a disgraced sort of former Jedi. So he like learns a little bit from her. He meets this giant, force sensitive creature named Bendu, who like sort of acts as his Yoda, but it's kind of a chaotic presence who like is neither light side or dark side. And like he has a couple of run-ins with Darth Maul and like all this shit where like his understanding of the Force is filtered through all these different chaotic elements that aren't fucking Yoda. They're not Obi-Wan Kenobi. They're not Qui-Gon Jinn. Like he just gets to like do Force the way he wants to, the way it makes sense to him. But like the prime relationship in his life is with the group of rebels that like the show Rebels is based on. And he has a relationship with the pilot of the ship and sort of like captain of Phoenix Squadron, Hera Syndulla, who's a Twi'lek. She has green skin and those like head tentacles. And she's going to be played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead in the Ahsoka show.
Oh, my gosh.
Cool.
And so they are like, he has such a, they have a romantic relationship in the show, but it is so like, they're both the fucking adults, like doing the work of rebellion, right? And they have these moments where they're like trying to figure out like what's going on with the individual like members of the squadron and being like, why isn't this person like getting this kind of thing? And they're like, they're the quintessential like parents on a sitcom in bed, like talking about the kids are like, what's fucking wrong? Yeah. And they just, I don't know, there's something so like, down to business about their relationship, where they're going to overthrow the goddamn empire together. Is there room for romance? Maybe there's room for sex, for sure.
Yeah,
And I'm going to spoil Rebels here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, okay.
So Kanan does not survive.
It's sad. I was really sad by that.
It's awesome. The way he goes out, protecting them. The end of Rebels is the best. He goes out protecting them, and Hera is pregnant, unbeknownst to anyone.
Gulp.
And we meet her kid at the end of the series. They jump a couple years forward, and young Jason is hanging out with them, and the idea that Kanan Jarrus gets to live on in some abstraction as the offspring of these two fucking amazing hard ass rebels is so cool, and I hope we get to see Jason in something in the future.
Well, and really cool. Can he just come back as a forest ghost?
Man, I wish we could tip relationships off of that.
if they bring Kanan Jarrus back as a forest ghost and he's not played by Freddie Prinze Jr., I think we all collectively riot.
That'd be rad. That sounds fucking amazing, though. I love that. Ship.
Yeah, thanks. I love him so much. I'm on a little bit of a Rebels kick right now. And I'm just really enjoying it. Really like it, Jarrus.
Good.
Hell yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Patrick, you have inspired me.
Mm.
I had a different ship, but I'm gonna just shift gears because your talk of falling in love in La Revolution has reminded me that I just spent 2 days binging a fucking incredible new Netflix series. I'm just gonna ship everybody from that ship.
Whoa.
Have y'all watched Transatlantic?
No.
Fantastic. It is so good. So it stars Jillian Jacobs from Community.
Love her. I've seen the posters for this.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some of her costumes. They look very fancy.
They're very fancy. She plays a fancy rich American trust fund baby who is living in France in the 1930s, using her father's money to fund basically refugees. Jewish refugees who have fled to France, out of France, because the French government is starting to cooperate with the Third Reich and starting to slowly deport Jewish people back to the Reich for at this point imprisonment. But it's very much this impending war coming on, and it's very tense and very tragic. But the group of fucking rebels who will become the French resistance that she is paired up with is the dopest chillest bohemian group yes. of fucking queers and clowns. Love like it. It's so fucking fun. And then they like have to, you know, they have to become soldiers and shit like right. that. And it's really fucking such a cool show. And like, and that comes from because they're originally trying to get legal visas to the US.
Right.
And at this point, the US government is not like very keen on offering visas to Jewish people because of anti-Semitism. But they're like, okay, like scientists and artists, like you can, we can work with like scientists and artists and authors and things like that. So they have this group of like refugees who are all scientists and artists and authors and like actors, and they get them all living in this like beautiful villa together. And so they're throwing parties and stuff like that. And it's really, cool. It's just so, it's so like, you know, art in the midst of like tragedy yeah. and horror and stuff like that. It's very nice. I guess the one the ship I'll go with is going to be Thomas Lovegrove, who is he's a Frenchman, and he is the one who owns the villa where he's like, you can take all of the refugees right. here, because the police in Marseille are like, no, 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 we're betraying you. Like, we're arresting everybody. We're collaborating with the Nazis now, like on an official basis.
Yeah.
So they have to get everybody out of the city and into this, like beautiful, like 19-room villa that they just fucking overtake. So Thomas Lovegrove is a French citizen who is in love with Varian Fry. Varian Fry is the U.S. guy who is the one in charge of getting everybody visas.
Okay.
But it's not going well. It's like they were getting like 3 visas like a week at most, right? And Jillian Jacobs' character is like, fuck that. Like, I'm sneaking people over the border at night, yeah. you know, and oh, I'm like wow, teaming yeah. up with, you know, people. And he's like, you got to stop that. You're going to blow up the whole operation. So Varian and Thomas are lovers. They were estranged for 5 years living in different parts of Europe. But they had this like liaison that was like super hot, and they totally fell in love and then like breezed out of each other's life until one day Thomas gets a letter at the hotel that he's living at in Marseille, and it's just like, come to this address, a friend. And he's like, what the fuck? And it's Thomas.
Yay!
And so he's all pissed at him. He's like, yeah. I thought you were dead. I hate you. Oh, you know, like, I have a wife. It's like, you've
stay
always
mad,
had a
try.
Wife.
Stay mad.
And they're like, fuck it. They're just super hot together, and like, they're tragic, and the American doesn't want to do it because it's wrong, but he's like, "But we're French, and here we are free."
As we escape from the Nazis.
Yeah. And it's great. And it, of course, the whole fucking thing, like every episode ends in some micro tragedy, so I was satisfied.
Yeah.
I can't recommend it enough. It's like, you know, short, 9 episodes, whatever it is.
Ooh,
watch
I'm
it
bad.
All in 2 days. It's okay. Fucking dope as shit.
That sounds great.
Hell yeah, dude. That's great.
Does anyone else have a... What are we doing?
Survivor.
Oh, well, so they're surviving.
By some definition, all characters, unless they're dying.
Right.
Unless they die.
Right. So like Casper, no.
Well, we're all surviving until we're dead.
Right.
Oh, but Casper, yeah.
Casper
never,
is dead.
Because right. we meet him after his death.
Right.
Post-death.
Post-death.
Yeah, we don't meet him at his time of death.
Okay, I said that, but one of the characters in my ship does die during the run of the show, but that's not the point.
But the other one survives.
Yeah.
Okay, so well, tell us about it.
Okay, so this is a ship that if you watch the pilot of this show, you would not think that it is shippable.
Really?
He's kind of an asshole.
Oh.
He's overbearing. Mm. He's a dick. He doesn't show any affection for her. They're married, but like you're like, how did that even happen? And then... On this island, they fall in love with each other and they get to know each other. And it's Sun and Jin from Lost. It is one of the most, apparently it was ranked number one by EW as the number one romance of all time.
All time, ever?
Television romance of all time.
Wow.
Which
that's pretty
that's
nuts.
Pretty nuts. That's pretty nuts.
That's
I think it was probably
really
pretty close to win the show.
Ended. Yeah, yeah. It was like, this was 2007 for sure.
I think so. But it is, they're estranged partially because their marriage was never a love match. It was,
and their marriage was stressful as fuck because he's working for her mob boss father.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yikes. Okay.
And she wants to be independent and knows her own mind and is really smart and is really like, she's trapped with
right.
him.
Well, mm-hmm. and part of the reason they're on this plane, right, is she's planning to run away when yes. they get to California.
Shit. Yes. Oh, but now she's trapped.
She secretly learned, oh, spoilers for Lost, but you
watch. She secretly learned English. I know this. Yeah. My parents used to watch it and I remember the moment yeah. where it's revealed.
Which is
and
huge.
My parents were like, oh!
Yeah,
yeah, it is huge. Yeah. In the
it's
show.
So
yeah.
good. But so she was trying to leave him. And then they end up being this like amazing love story of where they care for each other and mm-hmm. they're there for each other and respect each other. And he learns like kind of how the way he was living was not the way.
Oh my gosh.
And he becomes a part of this community mm-hmm. like on the island where he is a helper and he is.
He sacrifices so much.
Yes.
Like, he goes out on the raft with Michael and Sawyer and Walt, where, like, they build this big raft, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, this is maybe, this is season one stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where they're like, this is maybe a chance for us to get off the island. We don't understand what the fuck this place is.
Right.
Compasses don't work here. There's a crazy French lady who, like, has been here for, like, decades. We don't know. And so they build this raft, and it's like, I don't know, it's a long shot. And Jin goes out mm-hmm. on the raft with them and is like, I've been bad for you here on this island. You've been keeping secrets from me. He hits her on the island. Like, it's, they don't have a good relationship at that point. And so, like, he gives that up. He gets thrown back in time to the 70s and is separated from her.
Yep.
She gets off the island.
Yep.
And with their kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. And then as you mentioned, he doesn't make it through the series.
Yeah.
And that moment is fucking heartbreaking.
Yes. It's a heartbreaking ship.
Yeah.
But they survive the plane crash.
Yep.
So they're survivors. But it, like, thinking about it and reading about it again makes me want to rewatch that show.
Honestly, that was the thing that I was like, all right, I'm going to start that show.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. Really. If you tell me about a ship like that, I'm like, well.
It's okay. It's a really.
I think I like so that trope. Good. I like that trope of, I know you. I didn't give you a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, we are different people. And then now I'm starting to fall in love with you.
Right.
Yeah. And within a marriage, to have slow burn and enemies to lovers is like, fuck. Yeah.
That's why
awesome.
I watched The Americans, dog.
Yeah, dude.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to start watching it.
Yeah.
Wow. Can I share you with you guys my ship?
Of course.
Please. Yeah.
Okay. So I think I briefly spoke with you guys about, I think I just said that I like, three of us watched Knock at the Cabin together.
Yes.
I felt meh about it. I then read the book by Paul Tremblay. Did I ship these characters yet?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think we've talked about.
Okay. The book is very different. I think the book was maybe my favorite book that I've read this year.
Wow.
Actually, I just read Head Full of Ghosts also by Paul Tremblay, and maybe that. It's up in the air. But I think that it was such a thoughtful exploration of faith and belief and why we have faith in mm-hmm. things.
Do we need to lay out the premise of Knock at the Cabin?
So they're quite different. The books are quite different, and I might have to spoil the book.
I've already read spoilers.
Okay. So in the movie, and much of this is quite similar, and I actually think the casting for how it reads, the casting of the big guy,
Dave Bautista
is really good.
Okay.
So there's this family. It's these two dads and their daughter, Wen. And they're vacationing in a very remote cabin. These four strangers come. They say, we are presenting with a choice. Either you choose to kill one of each other or a horrible thing happens. And they keep saying, no, we won't choose. And then, like, they show footage of, like, the news where, like, horrible things are happening. In the book, it's much more, the movie, the twist is God's real. And it happened.
That is the latter day M. Night Shyamalan. Yes. So often the twist.
Yes.
Is that God is real? I mean, what's interesting is, like, it sets up, like, what they're saying is God is real and he's gonna execute these plagues on the world, and our characters are skeptical of it, like the family is skeptical, and then in the end it's almost like an anti twist, right? Like, the thing that you're being told the whole time is
okay, so
true.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That is so weak ass.
It's weird.
It's very weak.
It's weird.
It is same exact twist in particularly badly executed in Devil, which did you guys see that one?
No, is the devil real?
Yeah, so the title is Devil and the bad guy is the devil.
Okay.
That's the twist.
It's pretty good.
Okay, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. I think the twist, if the movie was executed perfectly, I think maybe the twist would have been that one of the husbands develops faith.
Well, so guess what? In the book, one of the husbands was religious growing up, and he's the one that gets bonked on the head, and he does see a figure. But again, it's like, is it his concussion? Is it not?
Right.
So he starts to believe because he's like, this can't be so, this cruelty. And I would say the book is much more cruel than the movie. Much more cruel. I will give spoilers now. I say get out there and read this book, but there is a spoiler here where in the movie, one of the dads kills the other dad, and Wen and the surviving daddy go and the end of the world is stopped.
Yep. Everything's okay.
And it's also like a sort of amicable, like, you need to kill me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So like there's no, I'm going to say there's no hard feelings.
Yeah.
He's devastated, but like, you know, it's a decision that they come to more or less peacefully.
Right. And there's no regret for it because they essentially get proof that what they
did was right. Right.
So there was that was the other thing that the movie, like, and it was a Shyamalan, so he ended it with an answer. But like, if it was still a question, that would be a much more interesting movie.
Correct.
Anyway, but what's the book?
So in the book, there is a gun. One of the characters is like, I brought a gun. I need to get out to the car and get it so I can stop these maniacs from killing us. He does get the gun. They struggle with the gun. The gun shoots. Wen dies. Wen is killed. Now here's the other thing. Oh God, the book is so good. So Wen dies. It's very cruel. It's very sad.
Yeah.
But because it's an accident,
it doesn't count.
It doesn't count. One of the people left, one of the like cultists, is like, I cannot believe in a God as cruel as this anymore. She's like, I do believe, but I don't want to. So I'm going to help you guys escape. Mm. She's like, I can't do this. The fact that this God would demand this of us.
Yeah.
And yet this isn't enough. I can't do this. But then she goes crazy and kills herself anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So like she helps them and then immediately shoots herself as if in a haze.
Yeah.
But the thing that is so beautiful about this movie, so like that moment to me was very beautiful. We also spend time in Dave Bautista's character's head and we hear about why he has faith and how he's like, I need to believe in this because this gives structure to a world that is cruel. And on the other side of it, the daddy character that doesn't believe, the thing is, all of it is so coincidental. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to sort of believe. And so for him, he's coming up with all this shit where he says, oh, Redford, he's the guy who beat me up, right?
Right, right.
First of all, the other daddy wasn't there. It's not clearly a hate crime. Whereas in the movie, it's very obviously a hate crime. But for him, the guy calls him the F-slur and then beats him up. But this is in Boston. And that guy says the F-slur all the time. So it's like, was it?
Right.
Was it not? I mean, there is still casual homophobia. Like, what is that? And so he's like, why me? Why that moment? Did he know I was gay? I was talking with my straight friend. How would he know? Like, blah, 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 blah. And all this shit. So there's faith on every level of he has to believe it was a hate crime. Because then why is the world so casually cruel that it just so happens that this homophobic man killed me and didn't know I was gay? So it's like choosing to believe something more cruel to create a structure to make sense.
Yeah.
And then when he's like, there's no fucking way this shit is real. Like, he's like, that guy, he organized it. He came after us and he's trying to enact justice on me because he had to go to jail for hate criming me, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, but then how can you explain all of these disasters that keep fucking happening every time we don't kill someone? And so it's like, you could tell me either way that shit was real or that it wasn't, and I would believe you after reading this book. So the ending of the book is I literally was moved to tears. I wept. It was so beautiful. So one of the daddies, so the two daddies are still alive. And I call them daddies because they're called Daddy Eric and Daddy Andrew by the little girl. So they've now escaped. Both, all the cultists are dead, but the world is fucking ending. There's like scary purple lightning and shit and it's ending. It's ending. It's ending. And the guy that's experienced the head trauma, he's like, I believe. I have to, you have to kill me, please. I will kill myself. Please, please, we have to stop this. And the other guy's like, but then you'd be punishing me. I'd be alone in this world without you. And so he's like, well, then maybe, okay, like maybe I kill you and then I kill myself right away. And the guy, the other daddy convinces him and like pulls the gun away. And he's like, I can't let you do this. And he's like, but what if it's real? He's like, it's not real. And he's like, but what if it is? And he's like, if it is, we will never hurt each other because we've been, I'm going to get emotional. He's like, because we've been through storms before and maybe this one will be worse. Maybe it won't, but we will have each other and I will like stay with you forever. And then the book ends. And like that to me is so like, should we all have like the person that would walk into the fucking fire with us? Mm-hmm. And like that versus, well, I guess God was real. The thing that you were fucking telling us the whole time. Like what? But the fact that like this book so well talks about like what we choose to believe to make sense of a horrible world.
And the movie ending like actually flies in the face of a story about faith.
Yes.
Whereas the book is about faith. It's not faith in God per se. It's them rejecting that and having faith in each other instead. Right. But it's at least thematically still the same story.
Right. Know? And then can I tell you another thing that the book does really, really well that I think is so cool? So you could, because here's the other thing. All the deaths are incredibly violent, incredibly on page. Like Redford's death, or Redmond's death, they're chopping into him so much that the blood pools, like it goes through to his spine. And like the blood pools and like whatever. So it's so, right? Wen's death, we never see it. We don't see it. Nothing's on page. And even the character who loses her faith, she used to be a nurse. She thinks to herself, I never checked to see if she was okay. So you could believe, because they're carrying her body under a sheet.
Yeah.
You could, as the reader, cling to faith, the lack of evidence that she's alive.
But that requires like an act of faith on your part.
Yes. And I'm like, when a book makes you do the thing, all the characters, I'm like, this was a masterful piece. I really, really recommend his writing. I think if sibling shit makes you cry, you need to read Head Full of Ghosts. It's about a younger sister whose older sister experiences schizophrenia and the family thinks that she's possessed. So they put her through exorcisms and obviously tragedy abounds, blah, 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 blah. But so my ship is Daddy Eric and Daddy Andrew. Obviously, it was just one of the most beautiful. I was like, how can this piece be more cruel and yet more hopeful than this dumb fuck movie? I thought the movie was fine. And then I read the book and I was like, wow, that's dog shit.
It's the thing that I am sympathetic to is I don't know how in that movie you could kill that little girl. Like, I don't know how a movie survives that. Like,
I think if you do it like the book did.
And just not
leave it off.
It's a different movie. It's not an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah, sure. Totally.
You could do it, but it's great. It's such a good, I mean, I was really sad when Wen died. And in fact, I was like, wait, but they never showed it. Maybe she's alive. And I kept thinking that.
Right.
Through the whole, I was like, someone's going to look up, pull up the sheet and she'll be okay. Because no one ever checked.
She'll sit up and smile.
She's like, I'm tired,
everybody.
I think it's just M. Night Shyamalan is not the person to make that movie.
That's not.
Because his deal isn't to leave questions and conversation. Like, you're not supposed to, the thing you're supposed to talk about is the turn of the plot that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You're
not that explains everything.
That explains everything versus something that leaves you with more questions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not his vibe.
No, he should not. It is a different piece, and I understand why they changed the name.
Yeah.
Terrible name change, though.
Yeah. What was it again?
Cabin at the End of the World was what
so
it was.
Much better.
So good, so much better than Knock at the Cabin.
Yeah,
you don't have a knock at the cabin. You have a knock at a door.
Yeah,
the door can be for the cabin.
Sure,
but no one's just knocking at the cabin.
Like
right?
Which part? The shingles?
Yeah.
The shutters?
The shutters? Are you insane?
Are you knocking on the porch?
Knock on the porch. On that movie, they probably would have to add suspense.
Yeah.
The knock at the porch.
Knock my porch.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my ship.
Hey guys.
Two relationships.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered.
Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.